Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, August 24th of 2020. And I'm your host, as usual, the Miracle Man Show. And I want to make an announcement right off the bat, and that is that I will not be doing a show tomorrow night or Wednesday night per the Ministry of Helps conference this week at Living Word. I will talk more about that conference in a little bit tonight. That being said, I have a lot of things to get to tonight. Talk a little bit about what happened with the party and how good that was. And then I'll talk briefly about the Ministry of Helps. And then a little bit on how we're doing as far as opening up and a decision that I have made. It's actually a funny admission that I have to give about it. Then we'll go into the word of the Lord. That being said, we have a lot of things to get to tonight. So we're going to, as they say, as some shows like to say, we're going to be all over the road tonight. like I said, we're glad to help to have you, and we're so glad that you've tuned in from wherever you've tuned in, and we pray that you receive everything that the Lord has in store for you this evening. All right. First off, we had my mom's birthday party down there in the Detroit area, and we had a good amount of people show up, and it was fun. It was warm out. I like to say I'm built for it, because it wasn't too humid, in my personal opinion. And I know moderate Megan here and other people would beg to differ with me. I even have a humidity scale that I've started. And it's based on averages in a typical southern city that is far enough from the coast in which 90-degree weather is common throughout the summer, in which, for example, today would be a 3 of 5. 3 of 5 means it is moderate, or in other words, you could say it's average, even 2 points. Today would be about a 3. Yesterday would have been like 2 3/4. 2 days ago would have been 2.5. So today would be like what you could call mild to moderate. On a day like this, we'll say you live in that city. If it's 90, that feels like should be about 93. The city that I'm referring to specifically, Chattanooga, Tennessee. You kind of figured as much, didn't you? That was part of what I get based my scale on. Does that kind of make sense? Because there was a day, actually a couple now, that I've been to in like the last 15 years. I say 15 or so because in the 90s, of course, when I was down there in surgery, I think only once or twice was I there at that time during the summer months. But then in 05, I remember I was there once in the summer, and one of the days was real humid, the others not so much. But Weather Underground, you can go on there, look at the date, and look at the hourly, see what the temperature was, the feels like was. And I remember a day in 2011, but I've been there, it was 90, felt like 93. Nashville, where I was the day before, was like 91, but that feels like it was more like 97. Keep in mind that Nashville is 120 miles from Chattanooga, of which I would say 70 miles is north. That Nashville is of Chattanooga, 50 is west. So why it would be more humid, it has to do with being a bit further from the mountains. But obviously, we don't have mountains here, but there's different things that go into consideration, of course. But that's kind of like what I use. And of course, but part of it could be why it doesn't feel as bad to me maybe is that being exposed to it all summer. As we had our fair share of 90s this year, we hit it again today, officially an hour ago. Couple more close ones before we head back down to cooler. But it was a great birthday. My mom seemed to be very blessed. I even sang a song, gave a good speech. Short but good. And it was so great to be able to honor my mom like that. And it was just awesome. And I'm so grateful that my mom is my mom. I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful that she decided to keep me alive. And for those of you who don't know, the right to life is one of her big things. And me and my mom had done that show in February where we had talked about it. And she's been doing some good things, some great things in regards to right to life. Also, we have my book out. The book's doing good. You can go to riversofmiracles.com to find out more information about the book. The book is called Rivers of Miracles, about a mother who never gave up. And the miracles that we've seen in my life, the miracles we're going to see in my life, and it's just a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. All right. Now, about opening up, cases are, in fact, falling in the United States. We've had deaths are falling off also, which is good to see. We had a couple of states that were considered to be red, like for very widespread spread. Georgia and a couple of others. They're now down into yellow. And it seems to be, in a lot more places than not, and this is despite the fact that schools are opening up in places. You've got colleges and universities going back. You have some public schools deciding to start there in person. I wish more would. I wish a lot more would. But some are. We'll see how this all goes. But I have an admission to make. This whole pandemic thing, you know what it really is, listeners? It's a dumb panic. It's a dumb panic. And I do think that to a degree, at least in the case with the United States, that it is, to a degree, a political thing. A bunch of the stuff that's going on in the U.S. right now, you know, we have the virus, we have the rioting and looting and all this other stuff. It's by people that are very angry, people who want to change the course of America forever. And this is why, folks, this is a part of why it is so important, listeners, that we vote in November. And don't vote a certain way just because of the way your friends are voting or your husband's voting or your children are voting, those of you who have kids over 18 that vote, or the way your mom or dad votes. No. You got to vote based on Christian. You got to vote for whoever is the most Christian, the most Bible, pro-Constitution, who's pro-America, who's pro-church. You got to vote based on the real principles that made America great. The real principles, not these other new principles that they're trying to say, you know, blue, green deal, climate, la da 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 da, la da 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 da, la da da, and all this other junk. You got to vote based on, you got to vote Bible, and you got to research those candidates and make your choices based on who's the most pro-American and pro-God and pro-life and pro-everything God's for. And that's how you should vote. And remember this, listeners. On Judgment Day, you will give an account for how you vote. You will. Well, I voted this way because my checkbook was an advocate. Well, yep, you're going to give an account to God for why you voted the way you voted. Last time, in 2018, only 26% of evangelical Christians, they call themselves evangelical Christians, only like 26% of them voted last time. In 2018. In 2016, they did very, 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 very well. Like 80-some% of those voted. 7% something. I have to look at that. But they had done a very good job. And hopefully they can do even better this time. But in 2018, they didn't. That's part of why we are where we are right now. And I'm not going to get political tonight, even though there's been some good things coming out. And I know one of the parties is having their big convention this week, and I'll find out what they all said. And if it's real good, I might watch their speech. And if one of them is going to give a real good speech, I might watch their speech or what have you. But like I said, this isn't a political show. But ultimately, you got to vote Bible. Vote God. Vote for the real American values that made America great. And even if you're like a business owner, don't just think about, well, this one's going to lower my taxes. Well, what if that one who wants to lower your taxes is the one that's anti-God? Got to think about that. Think before you vote. Before you push the lever or choose to vote absentee, which, by the way, if you choose to not vote in person, just do the absentee option. Don't do the quote-unquote vote by mail, or as I like to call it, sheet by mail, where not going to get into all that. But like I was saying a minute ago, one of the parties, the same one who's having their speech this week, they laid out their plans for America for the next 4 years. Unlike the other party last week, whose convention was very blah, and I didn't even watch much of it, this was a clear path forward. And so you got to vote ultimately based on God. And the great Constitution we have of the United States, which is a beautiful thing that we have. Amen. So, on November 3rd, we're going to vote. If we vote absentee, we're going to make sure that we have it turned in on time. So on the night of November 3rd, it can be counted. When we're on November 3rd looking, they're showing us the states, the calls are calling coming in, which is a Tuesday night. So yes, I'll have a show. I will not be talking, except for very briefly, like just to hope that you got out there and voted. But other than that, I'll be talking about something else. But we'll have a good night in the Word, worship, what we normally do here at Miracle Man. And then after it, of course, we'll watch, see, find out. Pray and pray and pray and pray. But we need to pray over America daily. We do. Right now. We really do. All right. Now, Ministry of Helps. Ministry of Helps is those I'm not going to say volunteers. I'm going to say the helpers, those who help put the service on, who help put a service on at your church. Examples, you know, the cleaners, the door greeters, the bathroom attendant, parking lot attendants, the children's church workers, children's church teachers, the camera people, the media people, I mean, those who are in the do cameras, those in the audio booth, those who are on the worship team, and it takes all this to do a proper church service. Imagine if you go to a church where your pastor does everything. Your pastor opens the door. Yeah, you know, to let people in. First, he's the parking attendant. He shows you where to park your car. Then, he opens the door for you. Then he shows you to your seat. First, he says, he's just thinking about when to start Sunday morning church. I don't know. Maybe we'll start it at 10 o'clock, maybe 10:30, 11. I don't know. We might start at 9:30 this week. Well, that almost be kind of silly if a pastor did that, wouldn't it? I think it would. But not only that, and then he does the worship leading. He teaches on the offering, and then he collects it. He'll pass out the envelopes. Then he's back up there as in a church like ours, we march our offering up. Then we go sit back down and he teaches. Imagine how long that would take. Well, that's why you have the ministry of help. Part of why you have the ministry of helps instead. To listeners, to help your pastor, to help the church, to help. The Bible says we are workers together with the Lord, not just for the Lord. We are workers together with the Lord, with the Lord. And even if you're an armor bearer, if you're part of pastors like security detail, or if you help with his book and tape table, maybe your pastor's like my pastor and he travels all over America, and he'll have somebody with him as an armor bearer who will help him set up the book and tape table and help him with other things. And if you're an armor bearer, that's part of the ministry of helps, And the ministry of helps is a very important topic. And you can come to this conference at my church. It's called Ministry of Helps Conference, starting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And then we have services Tuesday night through Friday night at 7 o'clock. And then Wednesday morning through Friday morning at 10:30. And like I said, what will be dealt with is all the different aspects of the ministry of helps and why it's so important. And it's just going to be a great conference. I know it is, as it always is every time that we do an MOH conference. And the helps is about to help your pastor fulfill the call of God when it comes to the local church. and all the different areas of the church that the Ministry of Helps involves, as it's a very wide variety of things that the Ministry of Helps involves. It really is. And to come to the conference, you can learn about some of this stuff. And it's always a blast every year when we do it. I see it as very valuable. And I always get great things from it. And so, obviously my church is at 2010 North Stark Road, 1 mile north of US 10. And it'll be a great conference. It really will. I know for sure. And I know that God's going to do some great things in it this week. I don't even have to guess because I know so. I want to remind you real quick the show is brought to you by your local McDonald's, where you can go and grab yourself an any size Coca-Cola soft drink for just $1 a piece. I got mine a little bit ago, grabbed myself an icy cold Coca-Cola. Of course, you can go grab yourself an icy cold Dr. Pepper or Coke, whatever it is that floats your boat, as they say. As I like to say, whatever floats your boat. You say, what kind of boat? I don't know. Pontoon? Speedboat? Paddleboat? You know, maybe one of those ships. Maybe one of those little tiny, incy-wincy kayak boats, canoe. I don't know. Whatever floats your whatever size boat you have. That's the kind of size soft drink you can get. You know, so they also have ice creams to choose from. Just go there and see what they got. All right, real quick, before we go into some worship, and then the word. I want to remind you of the homework assignments. Psalm 23 daily out loud. Also read Psalm 91 every day. And then every day at high noon, take authority, curse the virus. You got to curse Corona. And curse the spirits that are behind it. And while you're at it, you might as well just pray over America. Which leads me to my fourth one. You got to pray over America. Take authority. Pray over America. Pray over this coming election that is coming up in 31st, today's the 24th, 7, 61, 61, 7, 30, 31, 68, 70, and then day 71 is election day. So after today, 70 days, take authority over those next 70 days, pray over the election. Pray that the right people get put in, that the wrong people are kicked out by the voters. And just take authority, pray. So those are your four assignments. Psalm 23, Psalm 91, curse the virus, bless the Lord. Pray over America and the election. Amen. And so, really helps if you do these, because Psalm 23, of course, gives us a lot of encouragement as we're in this difficult time. Psalm 91 is that blessing of safety. And then we're using our faith to curse that virus. And then we're praying over our country. That's because the verse I have for that is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people would humble themselves and pray, if they seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen. Good, solid verse. Praise God. Now we're going to enter into some worship. Then I'm going to teach on. Then we're going to go to Mark 1, where we're going to deal with some miracles that Jesus did there. So, like I said, we're going to sing a couple of songs, and then we're going to go into the Word of the Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I've found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. We've been there 10,000 years, like shining as the sun. He wears wreath and portions from when we first begun. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word will avail me well. He will renew and raise appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbade to shine, but God will live in us. He'll be forever mine. He will be forever mine. You are forever mine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I saw the Lord seated on His throne. I saw the Lord seated on His throne. He was clothed in glory, exalted high. And the train of His robe, it filled the temple. And the angels circled round Him and cried, "You holy, oh so holy, You are holy, Lord of all." And woe is me, for unclean, from eyes I've seen the Holy King, and He cleansed my lips right before I died. And the pillar shook as the angels cried, "You are holy, oh so holy, You Lord of all. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are holy. You are so holy. You all so holy tonight. You are so holy tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank you for who you are. Just take a moment and lift your hands to him if you're in a safe place where you can do so. If you're driving or something where you can't, then just as you're focusing on driving, so focus on God as well. Just think about his holiness. Think about how holy he is. Think about how great he is. Thank him for who he is. Jesus, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry for being quiet. I was just doing what I told you to do. Amen. Now, Lord, we come before you this evening. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are, for what you've done in us, what you're doing right now, what you're going to do in us this week, this weekend. And as we move on forward, bless us tonight as we study your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we were made for such a time as this. And I just thank you, Lord, that we were born. We were born for such a time as this. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that your hand is upon us, that you lead us, you guide us, you hem us in, that you're blessing us. Thank you for this time of your word tonight. Thank you that as we study your word, that these people would learn everything there is to learn. I mean, what you have for them to learn tonight as we study your word. And I thank you that every need would be met tonight. And I make my confession over this program tonight, Lord God, that sponsors and partners would come into this program, that increases in listenership would come to this program, that finances would come into this program, and most importantly of all, Jesus, I thank you for this huge, that huge harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen and amen and amen. Oh, sorry. Open up your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Mark, chapter 1. Amen. Mark 1. We're going to begin with verse 1. So, of course, right after Mark's house, I mean Matthew's house, you'll come to Mark's house. That's where he resides in your Bible, of course, right after Matthew. The two are next door neighbors, you'll find. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. Just say that, listeners. Say thank God for his word. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 now. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert. Other versions say, a voice of him crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism and repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than me, the thongs of whose sandals I will not be worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth, Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open with the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. And he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he was with the wild animals, and angels attended to him. Verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Listeners, let me say, I got to back up a little bit, listeners. I have to do a check, make sure that the listeners are actually paying attention. "The time has come," he said, "and the kingdom of God is near." In other words, it's like the last days. "Repent and believe." CNN. MSDNC. CBS. Fox, depending on who's doing it. It could be fake news. No. Excuse me. Sorry. Let's try it right. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is. Repent and believe the good news." Believe the good news. The good news. The good news of Jesus. The good news of God. Amen. Verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and they followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. Verse 21. And they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. And the people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority and not as one of the scribes, one of the teachers of the law. just done a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit, cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? A teaching of authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. And as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John into the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went out to look for him. When they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else." Into the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also, because that is why I have come. So they traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him, and he begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone. Go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded you for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to speak freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. All right, let's talk about this. So, what you see here in this chapter is that Jesus, the first miracle that Jesus does on Mark's account, because what you see, listeners, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are four different authors. There are four different accounts based on Jesus' ministry. They're not wrong, no. They are accounts of what? They are accounts of Jesus' ministry. You'll notice that Matthew and Luke contain more of the account of Jesus' birth, whereas Mark and John, not as much. In Mark's account, the first miracle that Jesus does is he heals someone who is demon-possessed. In this case, the demon interrupts the service in the synagogue. The man shows up and the demon disrupts the service. What do you want with us? You're the Most High God. And part of them, and obviously the ushers, which happen to be the disciples, are like, what's going on here? What's going on here? Do we throw him out? Do we, obviously we can't go tap him on the shoulder. Can't just do that. We got to do something. Jesus says, be quiet. And then Jesus rebukes the evil spirit from that man. And then the man was healed of that spirit. And because what he did, because that was a miracle that he did that. And obviously Jesus was in that synagogue and he was teaching. And then the whole crowd who was in that synagogue that day, they're all, what is this? Is this a new teaching? First of all, they note that he speaks as someone who has authority, not just as one of the teachers of the law or some of their other ministers. In other words, like some of those ministers in that day who would have gave sermons, whatever sermons they taught in that day. But these people were so amazed. And they're like, they even speak to evil spirits and they obey him and they leave people. And then he tells, and then after that he goes to Simon's wife's mother-in-law. First he goes to the town that night, and when he's there, he heals all kinds of people who are sick and even possessed. And he goes inside of the house to Simon's wife's mother-in-law. She's in there and she has a fever, and he takes her by the hand and he takes authority over it. The fever leaves her and he doesn't catch it. Nowadays, people would be so mad. Imagine if Jesus did that right now publicly. People would be so mad. They'd be so angry. First of all, they would say, where's your mask? Where's your mask? Where is it? And then and obviously they'd call the CDC and all these other, they'd call the WHO, they'd call the others, and they'd be like, we need to shut them down. But people were impressed. People loved what he did. Then, the next morning, he goes to the next place. Of course, his disciples are like, Lord, people are looking for you. He said, let's go somewhere else. And they take a little trip down to another town. Because Jesus said, let's go somewhere else. Because that's why I've been sent. I've been sent to preach the good news to other places as well, not just to one place. And if your pastor, you go to a church and your pastor is also a traveling minister, that explains right there part of why your pastor might not be there every service. Because mine's not there every service. Because he's also a pastor to many pastors. He has to go preach in other places. Because obviously that's why he's been sent. So he goes to that next town where he's going to go. There's a man there with leprosy. He says, Lord, if you're willing, cleanse me. Make me clean. He says, I'm willing. Be clean. He's restored, and then Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. Do everything according to what Moses commanded you as a testimony. And he says, don't tell anyone. But he told a bunch of people. As a result, could only go to certain remote places. But people still followed him. Now you see, lepers, in those days, lepers were supposed to stay in leper colonies. What these were places where the lepers would be isolated during a certain period of time. Because leprosy is a very serious disease, can even kill those who catch it, some of those who catch it. And the leper was supposed to say, leper, stay away from me. I have leprosy. That's what he's supposed to holler. But instead he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Imagine if he did that now. Health department would be screaming. Just like I said about the other thing. But he heals that man of that leprosy. He even laid his hands on him. Folks, Jesus says lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And if you're a pastor listening right now and you haven't opened your church and you're listening to me and you're praying to God, when should I open my church? I have an answer for you. Sunday. Open that thing up. Open that thing up. People come in. Well, should I separate them somewhat? That'll be between you and God to decide. You and your ministry of helps, and you and your... Bottom line is, we have to open the church up. My church has been open for the last 3 months now. And we don't plan to shut back down again. We don't. We're trying not to. We believe in God not to. And you see, those were the first two miracles that Jesus did. Those were the first two miracles that Jesus did based on the account of Mark. Those first three miracles, actually, where he draws out the evil spirit, where he heals the mother, Simon's wife's mother-in-law, that fever, and then he heals that person with that person of leprosy. Which the first one probably freaked out some people, but the other two probably freaked out a bunch of other people as well. But what I want to get at ultimately tonight is, you have to have faith in God if you want to receive that miracle that you believe in God for. What is that miracle that you believe in God for? What is it? Doesn't necessarily have to be something in your body. Can be something to do with your mind. Maybe it is something to do with your body. Maybe it's something to do with your business. Maybe it's something to be with your personal monies. Maybe it's something to do with your children. Maybe it's something to do with other things. Maybe you live in an area that needs rain really bad. So you believe God for that. It can be all kinds of different things. Of course, first you have to believe God. You have to believe. Can't be a doubter. You got to have faith. You can't be living in fear. You can't be doing the fear thing. You can't just be living in fear. The more fear you have, the less faith you have. The more faith you have, the less fear you have. You can't be full of both at the same time. You can't. Can't do it. So, what you see is, so last night at my church, this guy is up there and he's sharing his testimony. This guy has been going to church for quite a few years, and he's telling this testimony about his daughter, who about one of his kids who was dealing with some things with their kid, who when she was born, she was having some deals with, after she was born, she was having some things with their kidneys and some things, and then months later, they're like, okay, and they're like, there's some issues. Then they go to Ann Arbor, and the doctors look and they say, well, she looks very healthy for her age. She's actually a little heavier than normal for her age, but not a bad thing. And they're like, all of these things that we can see look very good on her, other than she's having these kidney issues. So So God, he's, so this guy, he's praying to God, and he's asking her, you know, how do you do this? And he had to explain to this lady, this doctor, and obviously this doctor is not a Christian. He can kind of tell. And then he explained to her, for, he says, well, ma'am, she says, well, sir, do you have any questions? Because usually right now I'd be getting very bombarded by a mother or a dad who was extremely scared and nervous. And he's like, and he explains to her, you know, God could heal her and he has to pray to God. See? And he prays about it. He gets back to the doctor and she says, he says, because sometimes, you know, sometimes Jesus will heal instantly, like right there. I'm not right that second, but I'll heal that thing. Other times he'll use medical science that could include drugs or natural supplements. Or you could use surgery, which is also a form of medical science. So in other words, he could either do it, you know, do, instantly do the miracle like right that, or he could use science. And then he prays, and then he later tells this doctor, we need to do the surgery. And so they get that thing scheduled. They're ready to go. She has the surgery. And what they found was that one of her kidneys had kind of split in two. So it was like she had three kidneys instead of two. But they were able to make it so that she had two regular kidneys. And now she doesn't have any issues with it at all. And obviously, that family stood in faith, believing God, that he would move. And he did. He guided them through, guided them through the way. And God even provided for their medical expenses. Not since the surgery was done before he was a year old, they didn't have to pay for any of it. The only thing they had to pay for was like just over $20 for hospital meals. That was it. That was the only little bill they got. That was it. That was it. So God provided totally. And it was just an awesome thing. And they totally believed that it was God. They weren't nervous. They weren't acting in fear. That's part of why they got the results that they wanted, is because they didn't choose to live in fear. Because that guy and his wife, they chose not to live in fear, but to live in faith. And to believe God for that miracle and their doctor, I mean, and their daughter. And obviously they sowed some seed towards it. And they did the other things because faith without works is dead. I trust that they sowed seed and did some other things, examined themselves to make sure that everything was good between them with God, them and God, because you have to examine yourself if you believe in God for something. You have to examine yourself to make sure. Is my tithe right? Is my confession right? Am I living in fear? Have I let fear keep in over time? And if so, why? And this getting the fear out is really important right now because of what we went through the last few months. If you're living in fear, you got to curse that fear and you got to get out of that fear. You got to ask God to help you get out of that fear and to start living by faith instead. Because living in fear is not the place to be if you believe in God to do something. And I have to make sure even that I'm not living in fear. You know, that I don't say publicly whether I live in fear or not necessarily. I just look at it and I say, don't think of yourself any higher than what you ought to think. And be humble. And if I have fear stuff to work on, I address it. To make sure that I'm not living in fear. And that I'm living in faith. And there's a difference between wisdom and fear. Wisdom is good. Like as long as you do it the right way. Fear will cripple you. You can't just live in fear. You can't. God does not want you to live in fear. Whatever that fear is. Maybe you're afraid of this, you're afraid of that, maybe it's the election, maybe it's the virus, maybe it's I don't know. But if you're living in fear, you have to curse that fear. And you have to say, God has not given me a spirit of fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear. But instead, he's given me a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. I remember one day, I'm the zipper ride at the fair with my cousin Kelly, who is just under 4 months younger than me. And we're going around on this zipper. We're going upside down and up and around, and we're spinning like crazy people. But she says, you know, she's not feeling so well in that. And like, you say, I can't tell if it's she really isn't feeling well because it's doing something to her or if it's fear. So I kept saying for the rest of that ride, God has not given me a spirit of fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear. Spirit of power, spirit of love, and a sound mind. And I was saying that to her so that she could hear it. You say, Miracle Man, were you in fear of that ride? No. I love that ride. I enjoy it. Can't wait to go back on it next year. And you know me, I love the Midway. Love Cedar Point. And it's been one of the greatest desires of my life has been around these rides. both at the fair and at Cedar Point. But I kind of use that as a teaching experience to say, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. He's given us love, power, and a sound mind. And of course now, next time I see her, this person, write something on her Facebook that sounds like it could be fear, I just might remind her of that. Kelly, remember that day on the zipper at the Midland Fair? Amen. So, you believe in God to do miracle in you. You can't be living in fear. You got to live by faith. Not by what you see, not by what you feel, but by the faith. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you that we would get this word on the inside of us and that it would just minister to us and that we would work at living in faith and not fear. We thank you that you are the miracle worker and that we will see miracles for breakfast, miracles for lunch, miracles for dinner, midnight miracles, miracles all around. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you're going to confirm the word in us as we go on about our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. In terms of the Tigers, for the first time in a long time, they actually won a series against Cleveland. In Cleveland, mind you. And so that's good to see for their part. NFL does still plan to start the regular season in the next 2.5 weeks. In that, the Dolphins have announced that they plan to allow 14,000 fans to their first game. Whenever that is, I don't know yet. I got to look at it. But there was a headline that said, risky? Question mark. And then they say, what do you think about that? Do you think 14,000 is risky? No, I don't. At all. No. Allow 14,000 in there, keep them separated, you know, the first time, just to see how things go. If things good, then the next home game, I would increase that a little bit to like 28,000. Then I'd raise it a little more. And then this can be a good test run. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you all on August 31st, a week from tonight. So long, everybody.